Hey everybody, welcome once again to another episode of the Here Today, Gone Tomorrow podcast. And yes, it's been a long time, but we're here to record another episode, and it is the year 2014. We're starting now January 2014, so shows that were in mid-season finale are returning from their mid-season finale breaks, from their short winter siestas and breaks. And the show that we're going to talk about is Arrow, the CW's Arrow, Season 2. We're doing our review of the first 9 episodes of the second season of The Emerald Archer. Joining me today is our friend, the Asian with Rage, Damon Long.
Yo.
And also joining me today to talk about Arrow is my buddy Max.
No, am I supposed to say something here?
Yes, insert witty phrase or introduction here.
I'm injured.
He's injured. But yes, we're going to talk about Arrow, Season 2, to be more precise. As we all seen Season 1, we recall the fallout of everything from Merlin and the
earthquake generator.
I was gonna try to say the name of it. What was it? Not the judgment, but the ordeal. Was it the ordeal?
I don't think so.
Now what did they call it? The happening? No, was it the happening? The undertaking.
Yeah, the undertaking.
The undertaking.
The wow.
Yeah, M. Night Shyamalan made
the
made
fucking
it happen,
plants yeah. are coming after them. Yes.
Please don't ever remind me of that shit-faced fucking director.
Yeah, what a twist. No, the Undertaking, you know.
Hey, I like The Last Airbender. It's funny. It's a great comedy.
Yeah, it's not supposed to be.
It's
not supposed to be what you don't do when you make an adaption. But, yeah, wait a minute, we're not talking
that's
about...
That's beloved by the fans.
We're not talking about The Last Airbender, because if we did, that would be another podcast with another hour of just... us shitting on it. Yeah, no, we're talking about Arrow. We gotta stop trying to derail me like you derailed this city. You are failing this podcast.
Maybe.
Much like you failed this city. No, but following the destruction of the Glades and Tommy's death, yes, I'm gonna say right now, there will be spoilers, but...
Lots and lots of spoilers.
Yeah, to everybody's disappointment, Tommy died instead of Laurel.
Yes. Well... if you haven't seen Season 1, I don't know why you're going to be listening to a retrospective of Season 2. I don't know if you're just kooky that way. It's like, hey, I haven't seen Season 1, so let's jump in on Season 2. And it's like, oh my god, why are you guys spoiling about things that happened in Season 1? Well, maybe you should stop, go watch Season 1, and then join us as we discuss Season 2. But Season 2, Episode 1, kicks off with City of Heroes, which takes place 5 months after The Undertaking, and actually aired, I believe, 5 months after the finale. So, we're in real time here, people. Fucking real time. Basically, quick synopsis, it is a shitty city now. I was gonna say, the city went to shits after The Undertaking. The Glades became a war zone. It just... I'm talking about Ground Zero times 100 in a large, you know, populated area. A whole...
metropolitan area. There's a giant hole in the fucking ground. An assortment of buildings have collapsed. People have died in horrific deaths, mm-hmm. whether it be by collapsing streets or having buildings falling on top of them.
Oliver has abandoned the city. He went back to the island... because he feels that he failed, and he failed miserably. Well, he kind of did. But in certain ways, he didn't. Diggle and Felicity go to the island to bring him back, to convince him to come back to the island and basically redeem yourself, take back the city, and take back Queen Consolidated.
Consolidated.
Ah, I can't speak monosyllabically.
Dyslexia, dude, dyslexia.
Big words. Really big words, because apparently his home company, his family's company, is going to be taken over. There's a corporate takeover from a woman who usually kills a lot of television franchises.
Yeah, it's being taken over by River Tam.
River Tam, the kiss of death, the sexiest Terminator, unless you count Arnold. And if so, that's
I don't know. Some people might really like Christina Loken.
Oh yeah, she was a Terminator, wasn't she?
Yeah, I remember.
Yeah, but she really didn't like say anything.
How come no one's talking about the sexy Robert Patrick?
I was gonna bring him up next.
he wasn't a Terminator, was he? Yeah. I know he was part of the series, but he wasn't part of the original lineup. I mean,
no,
they just...
he was the Liquid. He was the T-1000.
Yeah, he was the original T-1000.
Yeah,
I know, but would you still consider that actually Terminator? I thought that was like its own thing,
not
a Terminator.
No, it's still a Terminator. It's just the T-1000 series.
Yeah, that's what the T-1000 is. It's Terminator 1000.
And I thought in like the comics they called it something else or some bullshit.
No, it was in the movie. It's T-1000. It's always part of. Why are we talking about Terminator again?
Yeah, now we easily get derailed here. But yes, we're talking about Summer Glau. Summer Glau from Firefly, Dollhouse. Yes. Wait, was she in Dollhouse?
Yes, she did appear
one episode.
Okay, she was in Dollhouse.
And
but you know that show was already like on its last legs, I think. So yep. She didn't kill that.
Also, another show that she killed was what? Cape? The cape? The hood?
No.
Yeah, the cape.
I think that died on its own because of bad writing.
Yeah, although the cape wasn't really that great to begin with. It started out interesting and then quickly derailed.
It just descended in there. And then, wasn't she in that, was it the Alphas?
I don't know about
yes.
that.
She was. So. I was watching that.
So, yeah.
It was actually really good.
She usually, when
she... She didn't kill it. The company decided not to fund it anymore because it was getting
more point
expensive.
Is that she has, as much as I like her, she has a terrible track record. But gladly, she seems like the show is doing good without her. Well, it's not like she joined permanently as a full-time member. She's playing the character of Isabel Rochev, also known as the Queen, who is a character from the comics. And basically what she is in the comics is almost the same as what she's doing here on the show. But she's trying to do a hostile takeover and take over Queen Consolidated.
Consolidated.
Yes.
Man, you're
I'm
worse
gonna
than
call
me
it
when
Queen...
I can't pronounce some certain
The Queen
words.
Company, all right? Can we just call that the Queen Family Enterprise? I'm renaming this to the Queen Family Enterprise.
Why don't you just say Queen Enterprise then?
Yeah, I'm gonna call it Queen in Enterprise. I was gonna say maybe Queen Industrial, Queen Industries. We'll call it Queen Industries.
Why don't we just talk about the season instead of?
Yeah, I don't own stock in it. Why am I talking about it? But yeah, and also in this episode, we are introduced to a new vigilante group that's supposedly continuing off where the old vigilante left off, calling themselves the Hoods. And they're basically, in their own minds, they think they're doing what Oliver
they're
had left
saving
off.
Saving the city.
Yeah, but they don't have the restraint that Oliver does. They are shooting up politicians and government people who they believe were responsible for the undertaking. And they basically end up murdering the mayor in the first episode. And going on... They're basically a gang in hoods. Killing people. Who in their mind, they think they're upholding justice. Yeah, Oliver comes back. And it sets the tone for this episode. For this coming season. Where in season one, Oliver was the vigilante. And now... He's no longer a vigilante. He wants to be a hero. He wants to save the city. And
yeah, he wants to be the hero the city needs.
Not the hero the city deserves. Oh, wait.
Well,
I never get that quote right. Yeah.
Where is he the city the hero the city deserves, but not the one it needs?
Not the one it needs right now? So is he Harvey Dent? No, he's not Harvey Dent. Because we have a Harvey Dent.
No, hopefully Laurel is Harvey Dent, so she'll go crazy, kill people, and then die.
She's clearly Rachel Dawes, so they're going to kidnap her and burn her in a tank of gas or something. Now, the Harvey Dent is the district attorney guy, who we'll get to eventually. Also,
you're missing out the most important detail of why.
Why? Oh, because he feels guilty over Tommy's death?
Not only because of Tommy's death, but because his memory is the reason why he's changed the outlook of what he needs to do.
Because his best friend Tommy, who I thought was going to live longer than season one. I actually had this whole Harry Osborn kind of thought they were going to go with, you know, where Merlin was going to die and then Tommy was going to continue his father's work.
Yeah, but it worked out much more like the actual Spider-Man story.
Yeah, so it's not how we were expecting. But yeah, Tommy died last season believing that his best friend was a murderer. And so he wants to prove him wrong. You know, he wants, like, I want to honor
He must uphold the memory, honor the friend,
yeah.
by doing, quote, the right thing.
Because he's taking away the killing. Which is smart, because I think we all agreed the killing, it makes sense, but eventually you're going to run out of villains if you're doing a recurring TV series, if you kill all your guys.
Yeah, they can't all walk away from it like Deadshot.
Yeah, Deadshot, who I swear to God should have been dead. If you take an arrow to the eye socket, how did that not pierce into his brain? I take it his cornea was as thick as concrete.
Well, remember, he shot him in the that lens thing, so I guess it might have blocked that somewhat.
Yeah, and it was a quick shot. It wasn't like he was really all his force into it, because, you know, he was panicking. He was.
So, the way I think of it, it took out his eye, but it stopped short of going into his brain.
Yeah, I
maybe
think
just barely.
It kind of grazed him, you know? It kind of barely entered in, you know, kind of thing. But anyway, don't worry. When we do the further episodes, we're not going to take as long as we do with this episode. So, hence why we're not going to be, like, here for 20 minutes talking episode per episode. But just that there's so much that happens in these episodes. There's an unknown mysterious... This episode also ends with us getting our first glimpse at the unknown blonde vigilante that's also patrolling the glades. Who
particularly
will...
saves women.
That particularly saves women and beats down men. We'll talk about her...
Did she actually do that? I didn't notice.
Yeah, they...
First
they,
episode.
It's like, was it a mugging or was it a rape? Or it was some woman.
It was attempted mugging, possibly rape.
Yeah, then potential. later when Roy investigates, that he realizes that this female vigilante seems to be, like, always saving women assailants, you know. Women who are, like, raped or possibly almost going to get raped or mugged. Or she has a thing for protecting women.
Okay, I actually did not notice that, so...
Well, yeah, it's there. But we'll talk more about the female vigilante when we get to her, when we get to the episode that really focuses on her. Also, in this episode, if you're going to talk about Arrow, then you have to talk about the island. What's happening on the island? The flashback sequences. There's not really much happening, actually, on the island in this episode. Because there's so much of groundwork of setting up what's happening in present time. It just shows you that Oliver, Shadow, and Slade are, you know, surviving on the island when they realize they may not
they're
be alone.
The last, they were initially the last ones left in their training, and then something happens.
Like one of the motion sensors.
Motion detectors that they picked up during the camp of last season, they're like, we're not alone anymore.
So someone else has entered the island. So all that happens in episode one. Some more thrills and spills. But that's a quick synopsis of episode one. Anything you guys want to chime in on episode one before we move on to episode two? Or do you think we hit all the key points?
I think we're good.
All right. All I'm going to say is I really enjoyed episode one. I thought this is how you do a return. It introduces everything and it sets up the new status quo. And it also like introduces by telling you what happened in the previous season. And it sets up that there's a new order. It kind of feels like a mixture of what The Dark Knight and Dark Knight Rises should have done when you... introduce a hero who's been gone and has to return and take back his city.
You got a problem with the Dark Knight Rises, boy?
Yeah, that's a different podcast.
But I do actually.
Yeah, that's definitely a different podcast episode. Episode 2, Identity. This one introduces, I believe, this one has, Will, this has your girl, Chyna White, in there?
I love me some Kelly Hu.
Who, thank God, is no longer wearing that really Lady terrible Gaga white wig. Lady Gaga wig. They decided, hey, you're going to be enough of a series regular, we're going to invest on getting you some hair dye and actually coloring her hair. Because
that was bad.
That wig looked horrendous. It was like a weird Lady Gaga wig, and I don't know what the hell they were trying to do with that.
Saturday night drag queen wig, you know? It's like, oh, going off on this.
It was just kind of hard to take her seriously when she had the wig. I'm glad it's gone.
Yeah, but this also introduces Black Wolverine, as a lot of people like to call it. Bronze Tiger, who's also from the comic books, played by the underrated Michael Jai White. A.K.A. Spawn, A.K.A. Black Dynamite, A.K.A. one of the baddest motherfuckers out there who really should get more of his dues. I think he should be in Expendables, honestly.
Yeah, I think so too. I loved him in Universal Soldier: The Return.
Hey, he's really cool in Blood and Bone. I'm not gonna lie.
No, I'm not lying. He's actually one of the better things about Universal Soldier: The Return, because everything else about that movie sucked. He actually did a decent job with what he had.
Yeah. But yeah, he plays Bronze Tiger, who, like I said, a lot of people like to call Black Wolverine, with him sporting his
Wolverine claws,
his Wolverine-like claws, and his brown leather jacket. Well, the thing is, in the comics,
Bronze Tiger, I know.
Yeah, he looks stupid. He's basically a black martial artist who literally wears a tiger mask. And when I mean a tiger mask, I don't mean like a mask with some stripes on it. I mean, literally, it's like a tiger's head that got fur and just got carved off. It's ridiculous looking. So
yeah, at least they didn't call him Black Tiger and didn't make him wear some kind of weird black outfit.
He's coming back, from what I heard. Like it later in the season, like they confirmed he'll be. So we did not see the last of Black Bronze Tiger.
He really didn't do that much in his appearance.
Yeah, so he'll be back later in the season, but
he proved that he was a worthy adversary.
Yeah,
but the thing is, like, he didn't really have like his own plot line. He just kind of came out, fought, and that was it.
He'll be back in 2 to 3 weeks. I think he's in episode 12 or 13 or something like that. And from what I read, it is going to be him focused as the villain, not as the heavy for Chyna White, but actually him as the villain. So hopefully when that episode comes around, he'll be a lot more, fleshed out. This whole episode introduced two things. Sebastian Blood, also known as Alderman Blood, Brother Blood from the comic books. It introduces him more. Like, Oliver gets to meet Sebastian Blood for the first time. This government alderman, who is basically just a fancy word for politician, for councilman, for the Glades, who's trying to bring awareness and help.
I can't think of a more trustworthy name for a politician than Sebastian Blood.
Yeah.
Can you?
Blood. Blood. Yeah, that's... Well, what about Jason Blood? Is he related?
I don't think so, and...
It's ironic that there's two characters
I just,
with the
I just
name Blood.
Don't know if I trust a man with the last name of Blood.
No. Now, if his name was Jonathan Slaughter, I could trust that guy, or Marty Mayhem.
Hey, Marty Mayhem's an awesome dude.
Marty Mayhem saved children from a burning fire. Granted, he started the fire.
Well, but I would never trust someone named Mitt Romney, but that's a different story.
That's a whole different story. Also in this episode, it's really mostly also sets up more about the island. This one is the one that has more payoff about what's going on in the island. And in this, it's where Oliver and Slade, they encounter the people that, the guests, and they discover that there's an that they're searching for a cave. They find the cave.
Of the repercussions of,
the
whole Oliver goes into rage and he doesn't know himself anymore.
Yeah, they find the cave and they find the remnants of some disfigured World War II cadavers. Well, more like skeletons at this point. No longer cadavers, because I think cadavers means like there has to be some meat on them, bones. And at this point, they're just bones.
They've been decayed.
They've been decayed. Come on, it's been World War II. But that was episode two. That was episode two, Identity. Not a bad episode. Once again, continuing the plot threads. Not my favorite episode of the season, but it's a good continuing. Things are happening. Anything you guys want to interject about episode two?
I like it.
Not so much on my part. It was, it was not as good as the first one, but obviously a keeper. Its job.
I think it's also the so far the last episode of China White for the season.
Yeah, because she gets she gets. Well, it's the first time we see the trick arrows.
Yeah, oh yeah, they finally established the trick arrows because, since he's no longer killing, he has to now rely on the trick arrows, which are created by Felicity, which now makes sense why he has trick arrows, because it'll be odd if he didn't have
Just
Felicity and he starts pulling
magically,
them out.
like, put it together.
Yeah, there's logic to why there's trick arrows. Because he has a fucking scientist girl who could build them. But yeah. As much as I like seeing Kelly Hu, it's always a surprise that they keep bringing back China White, because she was only like in one story arc in the comic, and then they killed her, so it's always odd. But episode three, Broken Dolls. This is one of my favorite episodes of the season. Broken Dolls introduces the character, the serial killer, Barton Mathis, aka the Doll Maker.
Oh, I actually didn't like this episode.
I actually like this episode. I like the way they brought in the Doll Maker, because the Doll Maker is a controversial character, because he's one of the new Batman villains from the New 52 line.
Hence, he doesn't exist to me.
Yes. And basically, he's a serial killer that likes to kill women and make them into like giant porcelain dolls. Except in the comics, he's a little bit more R-rated because, for one thing, he looks like a cross between Leatherface and Dr. Frankenstein, which I'm glad they didn't go over the top with for this, because you can't have a guy like sporting someone's face, because in the comics he wears his father's dead face like a mask, like
But in
Leatherface.
this one, he's a beautiful Britishman.
Here he still looks like a he kind of has that sinister he has that white hair slicked back, and he has the apron when he does his work, and it's more in just his acting and the lighting and then just the tone. It's like I like the way they hint that he's a really messed up without showing. It's once again it's that kind of thing where we always talk about that sometimes the imagination can make it a lot
Yeah,
scarier than
less is more.
yeah. And I thought that was great. Some people may be like, "Oh, I don't think he went too far." I think he went far enough, and really enjoyed the fav my favorite scene of the season of this episode, not the season of this episode, was the part where Detective Lance, or former Detective Lance, now Officer Lance, and Oliver are trying to investigate Mathis, and they find that phone call. And he's on the other line, and like Lance is just hearing the woman die, and he can't do anything about it. I thought very reminiscent of the Joker from Dark Knight,
You
but
know, I was expecting you to like the other scene more.
what when he puts the tube in her? Or
No, later down on for the saving part.
but yeah. He's interesting a character, like I said. This also introduces the character of Sin. Little runaway kind of a punk street urchin sidekick to, I think we could start talking about the female vigilante,
The canary.
the Canary, aka Black Canary, also from the
Well,
comics.
no, we don't know if it is the Black Canary.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah.
She just calls herself the canary.
At this point, she's the canary. Well, then, you know, he's not exactly Green Arrow yet. He's just the Arrow.
Yeah, but apparently, I think it was from one of the
We're on
producers.
A last name basis.
Yeah, apparently from one of the producers, they did say that she is the beginning of the culmination of the Black Canary saga. But she's not the Black Canary.
Right.
She's just Canary. She even says it in one of the episodes.
This episode also does the first major name drop of Ra's al Ghul. Ooh, the League of Assassins is finally name dropped in here, which I thought was awesome. I was like, oh shit, now we are dangerously stepping into Batman territory.
Because we want to make a Batman series.
For all intents and purposes, this is basically Batman, but without making it Batman. Yeah, like, I also like that this episode really continues the evolution of talking about Batman. Continues the evolution of making Detective Lance, I want to call him Detective Lance, Officer Lance, more into the Jim Gordon of Oliver. So he has to he'll be promoted back before the end of the series, man. He'll be Commissioner Lance by the end of the series.
Eventually he'll be Commissioner.
Yeah, he'll be Commissioner Lance by the end of the series. Also happening on the island, Oliver and Slade basically they rush to the aid of Shadow because their hideout gets attacked, gets bombed by the enemy. And Slade takes a hit to the face. Ooh. Yeah. About time.
His face is on fire.
His face is on fire. Like the girl, that face is on fire. And Oliver takes another blast. And when he wakes up, he's on a boat. He's on a boat, motherfucker. On a boat. Not just any boat. It's a prison boat. And it has a special name, this boat does.
At the fade out, it is Amazo.
Amazo is the name of the boat. Dun dun dun. Amazo being the android that the famous android villain of Justice League fame created by Dr. T.O. Morrow. AKA Dr. Tomorrow. T.O. Morrow.
It's like one of the ugliest looking androids ever created and ever. Yep.
Thank God it's just the name of the boat in this one.
Only
if
time
anything,
it looked good.
Oh, go on.
That's it. The only time it looked good was in the Justice League series.
When it was
animated
big,
series.
When it was just Big Blue, kind of moldable android.
Yeah, when it was just this big, gray, featureless android, it looked a lot cooler than the stupid elf-looking thing.
Yeah. With his, like, red skin cap and his green striped pants.
Like, I don't know, like, somebody had to be on crack to design that. I don't know.
I think he was created in the Silver Age, like, but
yeah,
early
you'd,
Silver Age,
you'd
before
think
they
up,
got
they
out
would
of
update
the
design
age.
A little bit, because he keeps looking the same way every time he comes out, and it's pissing me off.
That is true. I don't know if he's in the New 52 yet, but I hope when he does, if and when he does show up, they update his design. That'd probably be for the better.
Anyway, well, that's the name of the boat.
One does
so.
Have to admit, for Amazo, he is one of the most broke-ass characters.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Well, his power is he's everyone's power.
He's like Absorbed Man or some shit like that.
Yep.
Or he already has it pre-installed.
Episode 4 brings us to the Crucible. Basically, this one, it's a throwaway villain called the Mayor. Yeah, guy who's a leader of a gang, gunrunner, trying to take over the Glades. It's not so much important him, it's more about Oliver really meeting up with, coming face to face with the vigilante, with the Canary for the first time. So it's more of Oliver and the Canary. And, this is another episode that's just, it treads water, it progresses the story, but nothing too revolutionary happens here, you know? Oliver's, meanwhile, in the flashback, you have Oliver being questioned by Dr. Morrow about the location of the bodies, of the Japanese bodies. And, of course, he also finds that in the interrogation room, it's Sarah is alive and she's working with Dr. Morrow. Because, you know, the vigilante is Sarah. Sarah! The long-lost sister of Laurel, who we all thought died in season one.
Which
She's the
Oliver
canary.
was having fun times.
Yes. I think Felicity puts it best in a later episode. It's like, Laurel, was it Shadow? It's like,
Shadow.
how many women were on that island? It's like, it was fun time on the island, wasn't it? So many women.
But the best times he had with Slade.
Yeah, it's all about the bromance with Slade, bruh.
Please don't tell me
Course.
people are already shipping that shit.
It should. That's a bromance, bruh. He's Crixus.
Hey, Manu Bennett's an awesome dude, so.
Mono Bennett's, he's a bro, bruh.
So you would enjoy Australian man, all
And
of you.
what happens in the land down under stays down under, bruh. But yeah, that was episode 4, Crucible. Brings us to episode 5, League of Assassins. Which, oddly enough, has a League of Assassins. The League.
Who aren't very good at their job.
The League of Assassins have attacked have come in looking for have come in looking for to bring Sarah back to the League. So basically Oliver and Sarah fight the League of Assassins. And we get more of basically explanation that Sarah was trained by the League and that's why she's can kick ass now.
Yeah,
And
she is the bane of this series.
she's the bane of my existence. Detective Lance. Oh, why do I keep calling him detective? See, he's so good. I want to promote fucking Dresden over here.
Harry Dresden is not using his magic properly.
Quentin Lance. God. Gets brought in, and they have to basically confine in him. It was like, look, Sarah's alive, and the League are coming to kill you guys. So, it's another good episode if you want to see the continuation of the Canary and how Quentin now literally now secures the friendship with Oliver. Well, with the Arrow because he doesn't know it's Oliver yet. But it really like continues the friendship and the cooperation of Detective. Fuck me,
I
not
was
the.
just saying, it's okay. I mean,
I know. No, I
eventually he's
refuse to
gonna get
vote him.
reinstated anyways.
Yes, probably by who knows by the time this episode, the next episode airs, he probably is Detective Lance again. Because Lord knows we lost a few detectives before the mid-season finale. But yes, Lance and the Arrow are now working together to help save this city. Episode 6 brings us to Keep Your Enemies Closer, where basically Lyra, agent of Argus, not agent of S.H.I.E.L.D., but agent of Argus, aka the DC version of S.H.I.E.L.D., is mysteriously goes missing on a tr on investigating a case over in Russia.
This, by the way, is actually my favorite episode.
Oh, it's the one where Diggle. Basically, Diggle and Oliver. This is a Diggle and Oliver episode.
Yeah, that's probably why it's my favorite.
It's the Amazing Adventures of the Black Driver. Doo doo doo, Black Driver. This is not a joke. He called himself the Black Driver in the earlier episode.
It's a secret identity.
I've seen someone make a poster of that. It was like the Black Driver, and it has like Diggle looking all
I guess,
badass, and
kind
then
of
like,
like Kano.
yeah, it basically gave him the
Like
Kano
Kano.
mask. It was like the Black Driver spin-off right there. Basically, Diggle has to confide with Oliver that he's like we that Lyra went missing in Russia, investigating the whereabouts of Deadshot. So they have to
It's
go.
like Lila went for me. I'm going after her. I'll be gone for a few days. And then, just for the sake of being friends,
You can't let your
Oliver
bro.
pretty much is like, no, I fucked up last time. I'm here for you now.
I'm here for you, bruh. I got your back, bruh. You know? Do you even lift, bro? You know? They had to go rescue Lyra.
Why did you just ask us that?
They had to go rescue Lyra, who's stuck in a gulag. Gulag? Gulag? Goulash? Goulash. She's stuck in some sort of weird borscht. Yeah, she's stuck in a Russian prison. If you didn't get enough Summer Glau, you get plenty of Summer Glau in this one.
Oh, yes.
Because Isabel Rochev tags along on their little adventure to Russia. Yeah, it's not really much Arrow, actually, in this. Like I said,
no,
like,
this is actually one of my favorite episodes for the reason that it advances Diggle's storyline.
Right.
And I love what they actually did. Is like they could have easily gone the direction of Diggle finds Deadshot and just kills him, and boom, vengeance is had. Mm-hmm. But I love what they did with the fact that when they have a conversation between him, between Diggle and Deadshot. Deadshot basically says, like, I don't miss.
Yeah.
I didn't kill your brother on accident. I killed him on purpose. But hey, I'm just an assassin. It's my job. Yep. You should be asking who hired me to do it and why.
Yeah, and that apparently Deadshot was contracted to kill Diggle's brother by Hive. Dun-dun-dun! Yeah. Which is basically the DC version of Hydra.
Yeah, and again, that it could advances Diggle's storyline, which is actually really interesting.
Yeah, so it's like, why do they want your brother dead? So,
and who are they?
And who are they? So that continues that. We find out that the doctor on the meanwhile on the island, the doctor.
By the way, isn't that Dr. Ivo?
Yeah. So Dr. Teo, Dr. Morrow is a different doctor. There's so many evil doctors. Sorry.
I know. This one's like Dr. Anthony Ivo. I just looked it up. I was like, that wasn't tomorrow. That was.
Yeah, sorry. I realized that myself. I was like, oh, I was going to correct it. It's right here. That it's Dr. Ivo. I'm sorry. I mistaked my DC mad scientists. It's not like there's, you know, 20 of them out there.
Oh, name another one.
Oh, there's more, dude. There's the fucking. What's his name? The fucking doctor with the mind worm for Shazam. I don't remember his name. Because,
Kazam?
No, it's not Kazam. It's not even Shazam. It's not Shaquille O'Neal in a lab coat, damn it.
Like, I want Dr.
Mindbender. Kind of awesome.
Dr. Mindbender. I don't know. I just remember Dr. Morrow, too, because Dr. Morrow sounds so stupid, because it's an acronym about tomorrow. It's like, really? Really? But, yeah, it's Dr. Ivo. We find out that he's searching for these Japanese soldiers because they were basically transporting a secret serum. A secret superhuman soldier serum. And that if they find the location of the bodies, it'll lead them to the lost Japanese submarine that has this serum in there. Because he's trying to build not an android, but a superhuman.
A superhuman fighting army.
Should make Steve Rogers.
Yeah, he's probably. Which I thought that was pretty cool. I'm like, okay, so he's not going to have a Mazo the robot, but he'll have a Mazo. Amazo the superhuman man, you know. Well, like I said, continuing the story of the island. Episode 7 brings us to State versus Queen, where it's the return of the Count. Count Vertigo returns.
Your favorite character.
One of my favorite characters, because I just love the way they actually made the Count. That he wasn't the weird Dracula guy. Blah, blah. I have my little magical medallion that makes you dizzy. Like, I like that they didn't go that way. Or, you know, they made him kind of competent, you know? They made him like a weird kind of Joker-esque character. In fact, this moment has that whole thing with the camera and the televised thing with the holding the district attorney. That is very Dark Knight. Reminiscent. But, Count Vertigo has basically injected Vertigo into the city's, was it
flu shot? A large shot? Populous amount of the city using the flu shot as
vaccine.
A way to get through, I guess, a random amount of people.
to get them hooked onto Vertigo, and sadly enough, Diggle and the district attorney are part of the infected bunch. So it's like, oh no, Diggle's getting going tripping balls, man, because he has Vertigo in his system. It also, this is also the episode deals with the trial of Moira Queen, as she's going up against the city for crimes against the city, being involved in the undertaking, and if failed, she's going to get the death penalty. Ultimately, the verdict is overturned, and she's declared a free woman. And while everyone's celebrating, we find out eventually that the verdict was overturned with the help of Captain Jack, a.k.a. Malcolm Merlyn. Yes, Malcolm Merlyn is alive and well. He just apparently faked his death.
Yeah, I wasn't even sure if that was a hallucination, but later in the season we see it's not.
Yeah, he pulled a Ra's al Ghul and he's like, I'm back! And he's back and he wants Dia. He wants his biological daughter. Because apparently...
Okay.
It's in this episode that we find out that Malcolm Merlyn and Moira had an affair, and Dia's his biological daughter.
And given that his son is very dead now.
And he's like, I'm going to move on, and I want my daughter.
You could say she banged.
Oh. Also, at the end of this episode, the little tag end of this episode, we see that Sebastian Blood, shocking, is not a good person. There's more to Sebastian Blood than meets the eye.
We already saw that.
Well, this is the one where he actually...
It's more of a culmination, yeah.
Yeah, because basically he's testing the serum on people, and he gets his first actual successful test subject with Brother Cyrus. Brother Cyrus has survived the injection, and now he has a superhuman known as Cyrus Gold, which will pay paid off in the following episode. The next episode brings us closer to the end of this podcast, because it's a two-parter called The Scientist and Three Ghosts. This is episode 8 and episode 9, the mid-season finale, and currently one of the most watched episodes of the season, because it introduces a little CSI agent from Central City known as Barry Allen. Barry
Best
Allen.
Best Flash ever!
Yes, Barry Allen, the Scarlet Speedster himself, the Flash. Not my favorite Flash. Not even my second favorite Flash.
Best Flash ever.
Not even my third favorite Flash, because my favorite Flash is Wally West. Second favorite, Bart Allen. Third is... I put Jay Garrick over him, man. Jay Garrick's better than Barry Allen.
Screw you.
Hey, man, the greatest thing Barry Allen ever did was die.
Oh.
What's the chances of Barry Allen dying before the premiere of his series and then being replaced by Wally? Do we have any? No? No? Is that wishful thinking?
None. Everybody loves Barry Allen.
Damn you, Dan DeDito. But yeah, okay. Let's go into this. Let's get talk about these episodes. Cyrus Gold working for Sebastian Blood has Rob Queen consolidated. I got it there.
Finally got it.
You get a gold star.
I get a gold star. Yes. Brother Cyrus over here robs us. Centrifuge. Yay! Oh, I'm getting my big words correct. And basically CSI agent over here. CSI agent Barry Allen comes in to investigate. He'll take the case. And basically, what is there to say about this episode? This episode was just a backdoor pilot to The Flash. That, you know...
It really was.
It introduces Barry. The first part is basically, hey, I'm Barry Allen, and I'm kooky, I'm a scientist. There's more to me than meets the eye. He starts hitting on Felicity. Felicity kind of hits back. You know, so there's some flirting between the little scientist community there. There's a really badass moment I thought with Moira where basically she proves that she's not gonna take any shit this season when Malcolm comes and puts pressure on Moira to give up Thea, and it was like, I'm gonna come back later tonight. I want my daughter. You better tell her the truth, and I'm gonna take her. Myra, this season, not gonna take shit no more.
It's like, I've
Basically.
taken a lot from you over the years, but I know
Including the
someone that
penis.
can actually kill you.
Yep. She puts in a call, and actually, it's like the one person that Malcolm Merlyn is actually scared of, Ra's al Ghul. Because apparently, Ra's al Ghul is not happy that Malcolm Merlyn broke the code of honor of the League of Assassins by trying to destroy the Glades and killing a lot of innocent people. Even though technically,
That's what they do.
that's what they do.
Well, we don't really know what this version of Ra's al Ghul is,
Yeah,
so
he may be a little bit more honorable than the Dark Knight one, you know, who tried to do a similar thing with the Narrows in Batman Begins. But only Ra's al Ghul may kill innocent people. Anyone else is frowned upon. Only I may kill. That's Ra's al
only
Ghul.
Nielsen's able to.
I hope when we get Ra's al Ghul, he's played by a British actor. I don't know why. I don't know why, but I think of more sophisticated. No, well, you know what? No, scratch that. I actually want an Arabian actor.
Yeah, I want that guy from Iron Man.
Or how is that guy? What about the guy from The Mummy? You know, the guy who played Carlos Oliveira.
Yeah, I can't take that guy too seriously. He was on Charmed and he was a fucking gigolo in a Rob Schneider movie.
Yeah, but he is Arabic, right?
He is.
Yes, I think he maybe.
I don't know. I just don't see it. You know, he's just not that intimidating, really.
Well, there's no word as of now if we're gonna get Roz. I know we're gonna get his daughter, but we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah, basically, this is like I said, they're setting up for Barry at the end, the climax of this first parter. Oliver tries to fight Cyrus Gold and ends up getting his ass kicked and falls on a bunch of syringes. He mysteriously fell on a bunch of syringes in the battle. And there's now some unknown toxin inside Oliver and he's going into cardiac arrest. So they have to, and they can't send him to the hospital, so they have to confine
In
to.
someone that can possibly save him. But the
So.
only one being of that knowledge is, of course, the Barry.
Barry. Also, I almost forgot Detective Lance, whom I'm gonna call him Detective Lance now because he's probably gonna get promoted because a bunch of
We've been
detectives got
saying that
murdered.
shit. Jesus Christ.
Now I can say it now. Now I can say it. Because more likely he's gonna get promoted because all the detectives basically got killed by Cyrus Gold in a failed sting operation to capture Cyrus Gold.
Well, it's
Who.
Solomon Grundy, we all
I
know
was gonna call him Solomon Grundy in the next part because that's when we find out more he's Solomon Grundy because he's Cyrus Gold in this one and then part two, they start connecting the dots to Solomon Grundy. You couldn't wait one more minute because I was just gonna round off episode 8 right now. Episode
No,
8.
I couldn't wait. You were dragging her out.
Episode 8 also ends with the flashback to the island where Oliver and Shadow and Sarah find the submarine and they need to inject Slade with it because Slade's dying from the shrapnel and all the fucking wounds that he took taking that blast to the face, man. Took a
He still has
fucking
that
blast.
eye. He
I
still has
know.
the
That
eye.
eye just will not go away.
Oh, it fucking pisses me off, bruh.
It's almost like that hot tub time machine
Yeah,
thing.
the guy wouldn't lose that arm. I'm like, come on, Slade, lose the fucking eye. Oh, the eye! I wanted to stab him through my monitor. Lose the fucking eye. But anyway, he gets injected with the serum and his heart stops. Good job, people.
He
You
done.
fucking killed
Fucked it
Slade.
up.
Episode 9, the mid-season finale, part 2 of this Barry two-parter. Three ghosts. Barry does his job and cures Oliver, but now Oliver seems to be having hallucinations. So Oliver starts seeing ghosts. He starts seeing people that he believe are dead or have fa or he failed. Meanwhile, Cyrus Gold, aka Solomon Grundy, is still rampaging through the city. So it's like, what? We, Oliver, stop fucking seeing ghosts because someone has to stop Solomon Grundy. Roy and his little Scooby gang are investigating the disappearance of Sin's friend Max. Max, Max,
Yeah, what about him?
Max, you're missing.
Yes, I have been missing for a long time.
Apparently. But apparently they're trying to find you, Max.
Don't want to be found.
Apparently not, because apparently you've been OD'd and you're dead.
No
With
good.
blood coming out of your eyes.
Are you okay, bro? Is your eyes properly moist? Because you seem to be bleeding from your eye sockets.
I'm always bleeding from my eye sockets.
That's how you cry. You're so badass. You cry out tears of blood.
Could I pass out afterwards?
So they keep it. So Roy is investigating. He's investigating. Wait, did he get shot in this? They shot him in the previous episode, right? He took the arrow to the fucking leg,
Yep.
To the knee.
to the knee.
Shut the fuck up. Don't even start with that Skyrim stupid fucking joke. I fucking hate that thing.
I wasn't. I
What?
don't even play Skyrim.
What's Skyrim joke? Yeah, never mind. Let's not talk about it.
Yeah, let's not get
It
derailed anymore.
it's fucking irritating to listen to.
Yeah, but Oliver shot Roy in the knee with the fucking arrow. That's all you need to know. But Roy doesn't take no arrow. No arrow's gonna stop him.
But it'll slow him down.
It'll slow him down with a limp, but he's gonna continue his investigation. His investigation that would lead him to Brother Blood. But before we get to there, Oliver's hallucinations keep affecting him. He starts seeing Slade. He starts seeing Shadow in present time. And yeah, I think at this time we should talk about the elephant in the room. In memory of Shadow, take a moment of silence.
Oh, she died?
Yeah, this is the episode Shadow gets killed by Dr. Anthony Morrow. Anthony Morrow. Ah! I'm combining doctors here. He's an
Dr.
amalgam.
Ivo.
Dr. Anthony Ivo. He shoots Shadow.
Oh, she could still be alive.
She just took a bullet to the heart. She could be all right.
We
True.
don't
Well.
really. The thing is, we don't really know what that serum can do.
So what? Do you think they're gonna inject her cadaver?
Well, the thing is, Oliver implied that he fought not just one of, he fought these superhuman things before.
That is true.
So again, just because somebody gets shot, it's not like we see an explicit like shot of her bleeding out. And even if we did, Slade died technically too.
He could
And then
be
he just,
trying to resurrect her, a la Frankenstein somewhere.
So I'm not entirely sure she's completely gone.
Yeah, well, that'll be good for Will over here to hear. Maybe Shadow will come back as Shadow
Maybe.
Frankenstein.
But even still, they could all make it amends.
By how?
Yes.
Oh, yes. We'll talk to that about that in a minute once we do the round off. I have a feeling that Ivo's gonna inject himself at the end. He'll be fucking superhuman and he'll call himself Amazo.
I am amazing.
I am amazing. I am Amazo. Basically, Oliver with his hallucinations has to confront and save Roy and has to confront Brother Blood. He does, and that's when we where he fighting Solomon Grundy. He's getting his ass beat by Solomon Grundy. And then the ghost of Tommy, the hallucination of Tommy, basically tells him to get his shit together. And
Because he's not a murderer, he's a hero.
once Tommy gives him the illustrious Mickey pet talk from Rocky V, he gets up, he shoots the centrifuge, which explodes and fucks up Cyrus Gold's face, making him more Solomon Grundy-ish now. Sebastian Blood escapes, or Brother Blood in this case, because he doesn't know who's that man behind that mask. But we find out that Sebastian Blood is working for another man. There's a higher up, a man by the name of Dun Dun Dun. Nick Fury. Oh, wait, no. It's not Nick Fury. Although he looks a lot like 616 Nick Fury. The Caucasian Nick Fury.
Before he became black.
Before he became black.
Even though Monobed's not actually Caucasian.
Yeah, I know. But he does look a lot like Nick Fury. You can't deny that. He's missing his eye. He's finally missing that eye.
That's more like Nick Fury than David Hasselhoff ever did, so.
Yep. He finally is missing that eye. He has the eye patch. He has a little bit of gray in his hair. They didn't want total gray. Apparently he got that little like color for men. Put some little black in his gray. Or put some gray in his black hair.
But anyway, here's looking for Slade Wilson.
Yep, Slade Wilson is still alive and is working an angle and trying to make Oliver's life a living hell. So, boom, 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 the big villain for this arc is going to be Slade Wilson.
And we have yet to see what caused this rift, but we will probably see it in the second half of the season.
Yeah, because it's only been 9 episodes.
And yet, Slade knows who his friend is.
Yeah, Slade is well aware.
He wants to basically not just kill him, because Brother Blood wants to remove the opposition, but Slade Wilson wants to torture him.
He wants to take everything that this man holds piece by piece and make Oliver's life a living hell. You mad, bro? He's mad.
Vengeful is more of the word I would use.
You vengeful, bro? You vengeful? Barry leaves to go to Central City and leaves Oliver a lovely little parting gift. He finally gives Oliver the Domino mask. The little fucking mask so that comic book fanboys out there can stop bitching and whining that, you know, Green Arrow really doesn't like have his mask.
What? I still don't really like it.
You don't like his mask?
Eh.
Well, it finally keeps him, so he can finally, like, stare at Detective Lance face to face instead of awkwardly looking away all the time in the all-consuming shadows. Barry returns back to Central City just in time for the start of the fucking particle accelerator. The particle accelerator that kept being like mentioned throughout this season. The particle accelerator is turned on at Central City, and surprise, surprise, in Justice League DC fashion, anytime when you open up anything mechanical in the DC universe, it always goes wrong. And the particle accelerator goes wrong. It ends up sending some kind of energy shockwave through Central City that causes the chemicals in Barry's lab to react irregularly.
Violently.
And while Barry is checking out the chemicals, he realizes, oh, wait, my skylight is open in my lab. I better start closing that window. In the middle of a thunderstorm. And lightning strikes. Barry gets shot. He goes through the chemicals. He rides the lightning. And he's now been energized. I believe Barry Allen just became the Flash. That closes out season 2. First half. Those are 9 episodes. A lot has happened in 9 episodes.
And we didn't even get through everything.
Yeah, there's still a lot of little things here and there, but, you know, that's all we're going to cover right now. And we don't want to spoil all these things, because there's still little nuggets here and there, but... next upcoming episode is Blast Radius. So, any thoughts on the season so far?
I'm enjoying it.
You're enjoying it?
Yeah.
Will, anything on season so far?
Where are the Asians? There's no more.
There's no more Asians. They took away Shadow, and they took away Shadow's dad.
They took away the best asset on the island.
Well, actually, surprisingly enough, now that we all agree that we are enjoying the season so far, things to come in this season, already stuff that's been confirmed, the Clock King is coming. And he's being played by one of my favorite actors out there, Robert Knepel. Also, in an upcoming, as we mentioned earlier, Bronze Tiger is returning. So Michael Jai White will be returning in episode 12. And if it makes you feel any better, Will, you will have an Asian.
Mm-hmm.
Did you forget? They did mention Ra's al Ghul's daughter. Will be coming in.
She doesn't really count.
Katrina Law, I think is her name. Yeah, she's like mixed. But yes.
Oh, so far, technically speaking, a bunch of people are mixed.
It's a very mixed group. But Nessa Al Ghul, Ra's al Ghul's daughter, the second daughter of Ra's al Ghul, will be coming in a further down the line in one of the episodes. I don't know which one, but she'll be coming down. I know you said that that the series could make amends by doing you a solid. What is that solid at this point? Will,
Well,
how can the series make amends in your mind?
obviously, I want the mother-daughter combo.
Ever since season one, Will has been basically asking for Lady Shiva and Cassandra Cain. And in his mind, the perfect Lady Shiva would be Maggie Q, who technically is available now because Nikita has been not so much canceled, it just ended. It's because it got canceled. They realized, it has enough now for syndication. So they're like, we're canceling you and we're running your show on syndication. So Maggie Q, you're available. Maybe not this season, but maybe next season. And with that, there is an actress for the current Power Rangers Megaforce.
Who looks very, very much alike
A
Maggie
young Maggie
Q.
Q. So she'll be a dead ringer for Mother Daughter, make her Cassandra Cain. So that
She's
would
not part of
be
the Batman market. Shut the fuck up, DC. I already know you don't consider her part of the fucking Batman family, so you can fucking go suck a
Plus,
dick out
she's free
to
game because New 52, she doesn't exist there anymore. So it's
wish she
like,
never existed.
yep.
I don't know anything about it. I'm just messing with you.
Max, in closing, do you have anything you would like to see in this upcoming season? Any villains or anything that you would like them to explore?
Oh, I think we covered everything. I wish they would hire some actual Russian actors. I don't know. And
Oh,
I wish, what's his name, the Arrow fucking spoke better Russian, because I can barely understand what he's saying.
yeah. Well, one of the characters in there was the KG Beast. So, yeah, but
The what?
the KG Beast.
What the fuck is that?
He's a Batman villain. He was that Russian that was in the cage next to him that later he freed and was in part of the fucking Russian mob.
Wait, that's what they call him? That's a horrible name.
In the comics, he's the KG Beast.
They used his actual name, they didn't actually call him the KG Beast.
Yeah, because
No,
he
I
didn't
know,
want to.
because it sounds stupid. What the fuck? You know, not every Russian is like part of the KGB or some kind of super soldier speaks with a weird accent.
Well, it's funny because the KG Beast, he had like a protege in the comics, which is like the other government of Russia, the one that the NKV, like the protege of the KG Beast is the NKV demon. So I just thought that was funny too. It's like it's not like. In that case, where's the American equivalent? Where's the FBI interjector? Or the CIA aggressor? You see how stupid that sounds? It was the early 90s, alright? It was the early 90s in DC Comics. But anyway, that winds down. This winds down the first half of Arrow Season 2. We covered 9 episodes. Hopefully you all enjoyed this and continue on as later on when this season ends, we'll of course review the second half of Arrow season 2. In closing, I hope everyone had a good time and hope everyone enjoyed our little quick rundown on Arrow first half of season 2. Joining me was of course my friend Will over here. Will, and
Yo.
anything to say or pimp out? And no.
Oh, please support Mighty Number 9 Inafune's thing. It's basically spiritual successor to fucking Mega Man. Except don't bother going to the forums. Currently, there's a rampaging amount of bitchiness from a feminist and one guy that's apparently sucking on her tits.
Good to know.
Okay.
Max, do you have anything to shell out to the one or two listeners that may listen to this podcast?
I don't shell.
Anything like a project or a website or anything?
No, nothing you can think of.
Okay, but once again, if you love my voice.
Anyway.
If you love my voice, you could always hear me also on the Here Today. You could also hear me over at the Flick Geeks podcast. But this was Carlos Captutus Brajas for the Here Today, Gone Tomorrow podcast, telling you that you should listen to this podcast today because it may be gone tomorrow. Good night, everybody.